Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My girls got a book from the library this week. A lot of books, they always do, but one of them was really funny, and it just had us really laughing when we were reading it, and it's called This Is Not My Hat by John Clausen. I don't know if any of you have ever read it. It's a kid's book. It's not that old, but it's about this really big fish, and he's got this little hat. So this huge fish with this tiny little hat kind of looks like a little fedora or something. And while he's sleeping, this little fish comes and steals his hat. And so the little fish is narrating for you, and the little fish says, I just stole this hat. This is not my hat, but it's okay because he's never going to wake up. And even if he does wake up, he won't even recognize that it's gone. And he says, even if he does recognize it's gone, he won't know that it was me who stole it. And even if he knows it was me who stole it, he won't know how to find me, because he says, I'm going to go and hide in this really nice dark place. It's got these tall plants and tall grasses. I'm going to go hide there. And it's hilarious because all while the little fish is telling you this, you see the big fish and he wakes up. And he recognizes his hat is gone and realizes who has stole it and goes after and goes and finds him. And so the second to last page of the book, all you can see is the tall grasses and plants. And you know that both of the fish are behind there. And then you turn the page and here comes out the big fish with his little hat again. So it's kind of funny. And I thought about it a lot because this idea of trying to run and hide. And that's exactly what the disciples are doing in our gospel reading. They're running and hiding. And they're scared, and they're embarrassed, and they're ashamed, and they're confused, and they don't know what to do. So what do you do? Well, their answer is to run and hide from everybody. And they're not alone in that. It's not like this is the first people that have ever done this. Who was the first people that ran and hid? You know, Adam and Eve did. That's exactly what they did. After they had sinned and they ate from the tree God said not to eat of, their first thought when they hear God is, let's go hide. And that's what they did. They ran and hid. And God says, where are you guys? So the disciples are not the only one. And of course, I just want you to understand this is a favorite tactic of all sinners. This is a favorite tactic of ours, to run and hide. Okay, how many of you have done this? You've wanted to run and hide from whatever the problem was, whether it was your own problem or other people's problems, just running and hiding. When I was little, I don't remember what the problem was at all, but I ran and hid for hours, and I could hear my parents looking for me. Isn't that terrible? I don't know how old I was, but I knew they were looking for me, and I must have done something wrong. I don't know what it was, but that was my answer, to run and hide. Of course, they were scared to death, couldn't find me. It's terrible we do this, but we do. We think the answer is running and hiding. Many times in my life, I've had that thought of basically running away, and I bet a lot of you had too. Maybe you've had, maybe a little example of this, you've had trouble with somebody, maybe you got in a disagreement with them or something, and what's your answer for it? Avoid them at all costs. You know, hide from them so we don't have to deal with it. Sometimes it's our own family, maybe even with a spouse or with siblings or parents or something. And our answer is, we're not going to see them. We're going to kind of run and hide from the problem. Maybe with a job. I bet some of you have had this thought. If something it's not quite going right at work, and one of your first thoughts might be, I'm going to go get a different job. I'm just going to kind of run away and hide from this one. Or maybe you've even had thoughts, I know some of us have, where at some point, we get a thought of even just completely moving away, moving to a new area, you know, going to some state, going to Florida or something, just moving away and having a new start, just running and hiding from our problems. But running and hiding, as you know, it does not bring peace. It does not bring peace. It didn't bring peace for the little fish who stole the hat. It didn't bring peace for the disciples. It didn't bring peace for Adam and Eve. The thing is, you just can't run away. You can't run away from the world. You can't run away from your own sins. You can't run away from sadness. You can't run away from guilt and shame. And you certainly can't run away from God. Psalm 139 is a wonderful psalm. It talks about how God has knit us together in our mother's womb. And then it says, where will we go from God's presence? Is there anywhere we can go where we can run away from Him? And about the middle of the psalm, it goes, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. There's nowhere it's so dark that we can't hide from God. Running and hiding does not bring peace. But we try it, and the disciples tried it. They ran and they hid. Now, I should give them a little credit. It's not like they didn't have good reasons. You remember that they were scared that the Jews were going to come and kill them, and that wasn't all that far off, because that's eventually what happens. I mean, out of these 11 disciples that are there, because Judas is not there anymore, out of the 11, 10 of them would eventually die for being Christians. So it's not like their fears were that far off. And of course, remember what Peter had done. He had cut off Malchus's ear. So maybe he's coming back looking for revenge. And of course, Peter had lied about knowing Jesus 3 times. That's probably not good. They had all run away when Jesus was arrested. So maybe they think everybody's going to be looking for them. They're scared. They're ashamed. They're sad. So it makes sense, but it doesn't bring them any peace. So what does bring peace? You all know what brings peace. Jesus brings peace. Here's your one point if you're not going to remember anything else today. Your one point is Jesus is real peace. He is your peace. The disciples, they're scared, they're guilty, they're ashamed, and they need peace. And Jesus comes in, and what's the first word he says? Peace. Peace to you. That's pretty significant, okay? In other words, he doesn't come in and get angry with them or tell them all the ways they screwed up. Just this one word, peace. That's what we need, okay? And of course, as you know, Jesus, he didn't need doors, right? They had the doors all locked for the fear of the Jews, but Jesus had this perfect, risen, glorified body. He wasn't bound by time and space, so he comes right in there, but yet at the same time, he was very real. He had still his human body. They could touch him. They could examine his wounds, and they could see that it was really him, the one who had died and was now alive for them. And this one says, peace to you. I just can't emphasize that enough. What do you think those 2 days were like? The other thing they were probably constantly doing is blaming each other. I have to think that there was a lot of blame game going around. Well, it was all Judas's fault, that horrible, you know, traitor. He traded. It's all his fault that Jesus died. And blaming Pontius Pilate. Why didn't he stop it? You know, blaming Caiaphas, blaming the Sanhedrin. And then probably blaming each other. Oh, Peter, you idiot. You denied knowing him 3 times. Maybe you could have got him off. You know, or John. John, you were a friend of the high priest. Why didn't you pull some strings? All this time, sad, you know, the world stinks, Jesus has died, they're running and hiding, it's not working, and Jesus comes in one word, peace. Peace to you. Jesus gives peace. The marks in his hands, of course, he shows them, this is where your peace is. Those are the marks of our sins and the deathly wound in his side. That's our death, and his life is our life, and now everything he says is all right. Peace to you. Now, where is that peace? You're not there, of course. You're not in the upper room. It's not Easter evening. We're not there with Jesus. We can't touch his hands and his feet and his side. We can't hear him say to us, peace to you. So where's this peace for you? Well, I want to tell you a little something. That this, I think, is the crucial point where so many Christians today are being led astray. I listened to about 6 Easter sermons from last week from churches all around our area, a lot in Bloomington Normal, most of the big churches. And all of them were very biblical. They all used the Bible, which is really good. You know, that wasn't like they were just talking about something random. They were all using the Bible, and they all talked about Jesus, which is very good too. They talked about Jesus, death, Good Friday, Monday, Thursday, some of them. Talked about resurrection morning. So that was all good. But all of them that I listened to were missing a crucial thing. And that is, where do you find Jesus' peace? And please don't think I'm making a big deal out of nothing here, because this is a huge deal. It's great to tell people the scriptures. It's great to tell people about Jesus. But if it never goes further than that, where do you find Jesus? Where do you find his peace? Then you don't have peace. And it pretty at the end of every one of the sermons, it ended, instead of telling you where you can find this peace, it ended with telling you something about how you needed to believe in Jesus. And some of them talked about you making a choice. Some of them had a prayer where you could commit your life to Jesus. But the end point was you needed to believe in Jesus now. Now understand that if I've told you all about Jesus and his death and resurrection, and then say, now you need to believe in him, I have not given you peace. All I've done is put it on you again and telling you that it is now your job to win your salvation. It's not good. It's not peaceful. In fact, it's horrible on a conscience, and it's horrible for comfort. Where do you find the peace of Jesus Christ? This is where we have to go now. After Jesus has died and risen from the dead, where does Jesus go? Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. Jesus says, peace to you. And then what does he tell his disciples? If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. Even so, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And what are they to do? Go and proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. You can't have peace without finding the forgiveness of sin in the word and sacraments, in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. Okay? Forgiveness of sins is your peace. So that when I can say to you, not you need to now make a choice, but I can say you are baptized. You have Jesus Christ. Your sins are washed away. You've been buried with Christ. You've been given the Holy Spirit, given eternal life. That's peace. Everything is right now. Like the disciples, everything is right. Jesus is here. We're forgiven. We're at peace with him. If I say to you, come and receive the Lord's Supper, here is Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. That is peace. I'm telling you exactly where you will find it. Here is Christ giving you his own body and blood that he gave on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins under the bread and wine. And that's why you hear the words, depart in peace. It's not enough just to talk about the Bible or talk about Jesus. You have to know where to find the peace of Jesus. And that's in his word and sacraments. Now, after Jesus brought this peace to his disciples, and then what did they do? You know the rest of the story. It took a little while, but they didn't hide anymore. They came out of hiding, and they faced the world confidently. They faced kings, rulers, judges, prisons, death sentences, and they didn't run and hide from any of it. Running and hiding doesn't bring peace. Jesus does, and they had Jesus. And so, in the book of Acts, we hear that they were together doing what? Devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, hearing the word, the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, baptizing, and prayer. They were there with the word and sacraments, receiving Jesus peace. And they had peace and faith. And so John, who was there, of course, he says in our epistle today that this peace overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. Anything you must face, it overcomes it. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There is nothing in this world that can separate us from the peace and the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are forgiven, and everything is made well in him. So what's going to come and take us from that? Sickness? No. Death? No. Pain? Sorrow? Divorce? Guilt? Shame? Depression? What can take away our peace? Nothing. We are forgiven and baptized. Jesus has made everything right. And because of that, we, like the disciples, can come out of hiding and face the world. Hear this morning, most of all, his words of peace and forgiveness, and know that you don't have to run and hide from anything. Instead, we run to Jesus and find his peace in his word and sacraments. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.